Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we do bow down and worship you. We bow down physically before you, O Lord God. We bow our hearts before you, O God. We bow and offer our lives as living sacrifices to you, O Lord God. For you are our King. You are our Lord. And pray, Father, that you would lead us by your Spirit this morning into worship, into fellowship with you and one another, O Lord God. That you, Father, would lead us into your Word. That we would be transformed, O God, in our inmost being. Lord, because of our sinfulness, we are not able to figure you out on our own. We're not able to figure out what is right and what is wrong. We are not able to figure out the ways in which we ought to walk, O God. And so, Lord, we need you. We need your Word. We need your Spirit working through your Word in us, O God. So, Father, we ask, would you please make yourself known to all of us this morning? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the passage last week ended with the idea of freedom, and this morning's passage is going to pick up on that. And Paul is going to talk more about freedom, about what it means that we are free in Christ. And so what came to my mind, and at the same time it came to the mind to Michael's mind, and then we had a fun time talking about it this morning, was the movie Braveheart. If you remember that movie, it's about a historical figure in Scotland named William Wallace, who fights to set Scotland free from England, who rules over them at that time. And he's a character who calls his countrymen together. And they're about to go into a battle that is, they're vastly outnumbered. There's really no tactical reason they should be able to prevail, but they are fighting to be free, to have self-determination as a people, as a nation, not to be ruled over by an unjust king. And he gathers the troops together and says to them, if you were to go home today and live all, I'm paraphrasing, live all of your days under the rule of the ungodly king, of the unjust king, would you not trade all of those years, decades and decades, whatever, wouldn't you trade all of that life lived under tyranny for just one more chance to be at this day to fight for freedom? It's very, for me, it's very stirring. I very much enjoy the movie. It's very violent, very, very bloody. But I love that idea of gathering together to fight for something good, and it was for freedom. Freedom from tyranny. Is that the same kind of freedom that Jesus is talking about here? I don't believe so. I don't believe so. I think we need to look very carefully at what Jesus is saying about our freedom in Christ. And I think we need to do that because I think that's what Paul does. Paul takes us down and as he's declared in the last passage that we, when we're born again, we are free in Christ. We are no longer slaves to the law as a means of approaching God. Paul is now going to go on and just take three verses we'll look at this morning to really give a warning as to what not to do and what to do with the freedom we have in Christ. So turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, and this morning we'll look at verses 13 through 15. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. This is God's word. We are free. We are free in Christ because we are born again. We are no longer slaves bound by the guilt of our sin. We have been set free from the guilt of our sin. But what does that freedom mean? What does it mean that we have been called to freedom? Called to freedom. That's how this short passage opens in the very beginning of verse 13. You were called to freedom. So what does that mean? Well, the next sentence in verse 13, he says that it's not freedom to sin. Free in Christ does not mean that we are free to sin. Verse 13. He says here, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. And by flesh there, he's talking about the sinful nature. That's how Paul uses the word flesh there. He uses it as an opposite for the spirit, of living by the spirit versus living by the flesh. The flesh is all of the old sinful nature that we have. That even though we are born again, we still sin. We will not be glorified. We will not be... Sin will continue to be a battle for us until we meet the Lord, until we are with the Lord. So he says, your freedom, do not use that to sin. Paul talks about this elsewhere on Romans chapter 5, where he's saying, look, just because you're born again and your sins have been forgiven does not mean that you are free to go out and sin all the more. Why not just keep sinning if God's going to forgive me? It's not really that big a deal, is it? I mean, God forgives me. Paul says that is not the heart of a person who is free in Christ. It is not that freedom isn't a license to go about and to reject God and all that He says and all that He calls and all that He commands, to reject holiness and to embrace sin. I think this is something that we all at times can very much be tempted by, of thinking, well, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. I know this is sinful. We usually don't use that word when we're trying to justify our sin. I know I shouldn't do this, but... And we always kind of think in the background, well, but God will forgive me, so, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And Paul's saying, that's not what it means to be free in Christ. Don't do that. Take that prompting of the Spirit saying this is wrong and fight. Fight. By God's strength, fight against the temptation that comes against us. We are not free to just say, well, I believed in Jesus Christ and now I'm just going to go on my own way and do my own thing. That is not what the freedom to which we have been called is. Second, this freedom is, so that was sort of a negative, what it's not, the freedom is the freedom to serve one another. Continuing in verse 13. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, which we'll get to in a second, serve one another. We mentioned briefly last week we are free now to be each other's slaves. That word there for serve, it is a dual word that where we get from servant and slave. It has both meanings. So to serve one another, we are putting ourselves underneath one another. We're submitting ourselves one to another to be able to provide and honor and do for one another from the position of service, a servant, of slave. Jesus is really turning the whole model that we think about here upside down, really, where we want to be the master, right, and have many servants under us, many people serving us. That's sort of the human nature, which says, let me be number one and have others serve me. And instead of trying to be the master with many servants, Jesus calls us to be a servant with many masters. One another. Each other. How do we serve one another? We might think that's a simple question to answer. I contend it is not. Serving one another requires us to get out of ourselves. It requires us to think about the other person and what their needs are, not what I think their needs are. It requires us to listen to another's needs. We're so often tempted to help other people in the ways that we think they should be helped, or by the ways that we think we want to be helped. But that's not truly listening and serving others as God has created them. We must listen, observe. And I think overall, to serve one another truly requires humility. Deep humility. You know, there's been, throughout the history of missions, of Christian missionary work, there's been so much wonderful work, and there's been challenges. There's always challenges, of course, right? One of the challenges with the model that we, you know, use here, which is taking some American missionaries and sending them overseas, or just taking our American money, because we are wealthy. And so taking our money and sending it to indigenous Christians who are ministering in their culture. I think that's part of what God, I think, gave our country and the church wealth, was so that we can support indigenous and missionaries from America to go over and do their work. But something weird happens to us when we're the givers of money. When we give money, we tend to think that we've purchased something. We tend to think that we have a superiority in a way, that if we have money, somehow we're better than someone who doesn't have money. And so when we send money overseas, there historically has been this problem of thinking, well, those poor people there, those, you know, oh boy, they really need us. And a lot of questions are being asked now in missions as, what can we as sending churches learn from the countries and nations in which we are sending money from? Money is just one of the resources, and it's not ours, it's what God has given us. What resources do they have that we can learn from? Now we're becoming servants, not just consumers, not just purchasers, right? We're not the master now when we just send money. Now we want to be the servant, the humble servant. We are free now to serve one another because I don't have to be number one. I don't have to get mine at the expense of somebody else because Jesus has my back. He's got me covered, not just in this life, but in all eternity. And so now I am free to truly submit to one another and to serve. Freedom to serve one another. Third, in verse 14, Paul says that this is a freedom to follow the law. This is going to get, I hope this is clear here. Verse 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, and we'll get to that in a second. But I want us to notice he is calling us to live by the law, but to fulfill the law, to follow the law. Now wait a minute, didn't I just say that the law has us in slavery and we've been set free from the law? Trying to be so careful with words here. We are in slavery to the law when we try to approach God by the law. In other words, when we try to become saved by following the law. That is slavery. Having been set free by faith in Jesus Christ, by God's grace, we are now free to follow the law of Christ, to follow God, because the law isn't bad. Remember what the law did? We talked about this a few weeks ago. It reveals God to us and who He is, and therefore who we are to be as His people. Now, this takes wisdom and discernment, absolutely. And different sermon in terms of if you want to walk through Old Testament laws. I think there are three categories of Old Testament laws. I think two of those categories, once Christ was crucified and risen from the dead, are not applicable to the church. That was specifically for the nation of Israel. But the moral law, all the moral laws that we see here, are continued in the New Testament and continued in the church. And so we are free to follow God's law because it represents the character, the nature of God. So in other words, the law now reveals to us how God wants to mold our hearts. Not as a way of getting to God, but as a way of walking in Him now that He has received us as His children. Number four, this freedom is a freedom to love our neighbors. The rest of verse 14. I'll read the whole verse again. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, first off, I want to call out that he's talking here in this quote. He uses the word neighbor. So he's not just talking about Christians. He's not just talking here about loving one another. That's the language they use, that God uses for within the church there, which is what Paul just talked about in serving one another. He was specifically focusing then on between Christians. But now he says neighbors, as Jesus famously tells in the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? Who is my neighbor? And he walks through the parable. And so really the neighbor is anyone's needs you can meet. Anyone whose needs you are able to meet, that's your neighbor. That's who our neighbor is. And so that is one another. But who else is it? Well, that's a question that we must be wrestling with and then praying and watching for on a moment-by-moment, daily basis for how we can meet others' needs and do so in love. This is what he also said at the end of verse 13. Through love serve one another. Now, we are free that we shall love our neighbor as ourself. It seems like that's so straightforward also, doesn't it? Like the idea of serving one another. I don't think it is. I think discerning the ways in which, on a practical, daily basis, we can love one another and then love our neighbors, I think that takes great wisdom from God. And, this won't surprise you, I think it takes great humility before God and before one another and before our neighbors. See, once again, this reminds me of serving one another, to love our neighbors. We often think we know what other people need. We often think that we know what's best for them. We might. But please hear me. We might not. We really might not know. We really might not understand their situation, what they need, why they're responding, why they're acting the way they're acting. And so, I believe that we need, in love, in order to love, we need humility. It doesn't mean weakness, but that we humbly ask, how can we love? Ask the Lord, ask our neighbors. And then we go out in action. We go out and we step out, and we step out sacrificially because we are free to love. We don't have to worry about getting love in return because we have been loved by the Lord and we are loved by Him for all eternity. So I can give of myself. I can give my cloak to my neighbor who doesn't have one. And it may not have to be my second coat. It might be my only coat. We can suffer indignation, injustice, because we know that we have a Father who is taking care of all justice and all eternity. We can love our neighbors. We can love those who aren't as strong as we are or aren't as powerful as we are. We can serve them and love them by standing up when it would cost them too much to be able to do so. That's issues of justice in the world and in our communities. Those who are less fortunate, we can be the voice for them. Even if it costs us and our reputation. Why? Because we are free to love. We are free to actively work for the good of other people. Because we're in Christ. And in Christ, He has set us free. Finally, in verse 15, it comes back to another what freedom isn't. Freedom in Christ is not freedom to attack one another. Verse 15, it says, "But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Now I take this. He is talking again about within the church. He's using the one another language again here. And so it's so easy. I know we all talk about it ad nauseum, don't we? I know, like, the way the world is today and there's so much biting and devouring going on. I think he's referring here into the church. And so our freedom is not a freedom to go ahead and hurt each other, attack each other, speak ill, think ill of each other. He's using the language here of devouring, and so I, you know, immediately think of mouth and word, and the mouth words like that. I think he means it larger than that. I think he's using it as a way of talking about destroying other people, of tearing them down. I think we're really good at that. We're not supposed to be. Encourage one another and build each other up. That is who we as God's people are to be, whether it's with our words, with our actions, our service, our love, our conforming to the image of God through His Word, through His law. That we're not to be at each other's throats. That we're not, you know, we are at war, but it's not with each other. It's with the principalities and powers and the forces of darkness. And we are one as His body. And so Paul warns us here that with our freedom we are not to sin. With our freedom we are not to attack each other. But instead, he calls us in our freedom that we can serve one another, that we can follow the law of God, that we can love our neighbor as ourselves. This is the true meaning of biblical freedom. We are free to follow Jesus, and that means we are free to become more like Him every day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that when we are born again, we are free in Christ. And thank You, Lord, for showing us some of what that means and what that looks like. I do pray, O God, that You would lead us and You would give us wisdom and You would enable us to put faith into action and to do so in love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.